What is up, Mentors Collective? To my marketers out there and my personal brands, anyone trying to grow in 2024, you should know by now how important your personal brand is. It establishes trust. It allows you to sell things to people that don't know who you are. And one of the core tenets that you need as a personal brand nowadays is a book, ideally a best-selling book. So in this episode, we're going to be walking you through how to write and publish a best-selling nonfiction book, specifically if you're an entrepreneur trying to establish some thought leadership, some expertise in a subject. We're going to break down how simple it is and the steps that you need to take to get that book published. And to do that, I've got a good friend, Jake Kelfer. He is the creator of Big Idea to Bestseller. He's a 4-time best-selling author. He's a high-energy motivational speaker. I was just on his podcast, had a ton of fun. Jake is a ball of energy, and I'm excited to have you, Jake, in discussing writing and publishing a book.
Dude, great to be here, Jay. Fire it up.
All right, let's have some fun. I'm actually in the process of kind of writing my own book, at least dabbling in the idea of it, putting together an outline. So I've been exploring this for a little while myself. So I'm excited to poke into your brain and see how we can move me along and hopefully move the audience along as well. So Jake, let's just start. Like, why do entrepreneurs, why do business leaders need books? Why is it important?
This is a wonderful question to start off at. And the truth is that books are the easiest tool that I have found to leverage in multiple ways to stand out and differentiate yourself. So here's what I mean by this, is that most things that we do in the marketing world as entrepreneurs, they serve 1, 2, maybe 3 purposes if you're lucky, right? And so when you have a book, though, you can use a book for a plethora of different time-consuming tasks. Let's dig in. A book can be a networking tool. You have a book, you can get doors opened, you can get in touch with people faster. You have a book, you are the foremost expert on that specific topic. You have a book, it's a lead generation tool, whether you're giving away the book or you put in different things within it. You have a book, you have a tangible physical product that you can actually sell. When you have a book, you have a client acquisition tool, you have a customer onboarding gift. Okay, you have a way to land speaking engagements. You have unlimited social content. You have the ability to curate higher level pitches. So you do the work one time, create a great asset in the book, and then you can use it in many different ways. And so as we head into this year, I believe that a book is the most versatile marketing asset that an entrepreneur can have because of its different use cases.
I love that you said that and that we started off with this, because a lot of people think about writing a book like, how am I going to sell books? Who the hell's going to buy my book? But it's not necessarily about the direct profits from selling a book, is it? There's a lot of indirect profits that you just mentioned.
Well, and this is what's really cool about books is it can be yes and. It doesn't have to be either or. Now, the majority of authors, okay, the majority of entrepreneurs who are writing a book for their business, the majority do not make the money from the book sales. I like to call your book sale money your Borat money, because it's very nice, all right? Like, it's a great way to generate additional revenue pretty passively, in the sense that Amazon sends you a check once a month based on the amount of sales you have. But it's really about identifying what is the goal and the purpose of the book. And many of the people that we work with, the goal is speaking engagements. The goal is thought leadership. The goal is creating a content engine. The goal is raising their rates. The goal is coaching clients. The goal is transitioning careers. The goal is selling done-for-you services on the back end. So it's really about, you know what, not saying it's this or that. It's really about saying, well, what's the objective that I have as an entrepreneur? And then how do I fit the book to help me achieve multiple objectives using one asset?
I love that. And we'll dive deeper into how exactly to leverage the book, because you mentioned a lot of things that seem really, really valuable. Definitely want to dig into that. But first, I want to kind of address probably the biggest concern everybody's thinking right now is, this sounds like a lot of work. I don't want to write a 200-page book. I'm not a good writer. I'm not that much of an expert in something. Counter some of those objections. Is it easy? Is it a nightmare? How long does this thing take?
I will tell you this, okay? Writing a book does take work, okay? You're not going to snap your fingers and have a high quality book overnight. But what I will say is that everything you just described was exactly who I was, all right? When I wrote my first book, I wrote it working a full-time job for the Los Angeles Lakers during Kobe Bryant's final NBA season. I would get up in the morning to skip LA traffic. I would drive to the LA Lakers facility, and I would sit in my car on my laptop, and I'd write for about an hour, hour and a half before work started. Fast forward 6 months later, Kobe retires, I retire, my first book comes out. Okay, this was at 23 years old. Now, as I've gone along, I didn't like writing. I didn't call myself a writer, and I didn't have time to invest years. And as a young hustler, I didn't have the time to only be a writer. So I figured out over the course of four books, I figured out what is the fastest and most efficient way to write, publish, and launch a book. And that has become what our company, Big Idea to Bestseller, is based off of. So most of the people we work with are high-level entrepreneurs or executives. We just had someone, she's a fractional CFO running her own business. She was training for a marathon while writing her book, and she hit bestseller status and doubled her business. We had a mom of two who's a full-time lawyer write her book. We had someone who was working a full-time job write her rough draft in 27 days and then launched a bestseller status, ultimately landing her a TEDx talk. So it's not about, oh my gosh, I have to stop what I'm doing. I have to stop spending time with my family. I have to stop running my business. I have to stop hustling. I have to stop doing things. It's yes and. And I'll go back to that, right? It's, oh my gosh, I actually only need 30 to 60 minutes a day to do this. I only need 4 to 5 hours a week to be able to do this. And now you're able to get books done in 6 to 8 months while spending less than an hour a day. And what's crazier, because I know you're a data guy and I know you're a numbers guy, is I said, okay, this is great. Let me actually put this to the test. So what I did is I set out to create my fourth book in a challenge where I had 1 hour a day maximum on average that I could work on the book, and I had to complete it within 90 days. And I ended up finishing my book. I documented every single day because I wanted to show people how possible it was. I finished the book and launched it to bestseller status within 87 days. I spent less than 55 minutes on average per day, and my business grew in size every single month that I was doing this project. So it really goes to show that with the right framework and the right team, you're able to write books much more effectively and much more quickly than you used to be able to, or than the mindset that people used to have.
You make it sound easy. An hour a day for 90 days, you'll have a finished book at the end of it. What is the secret there to writing a book easily and quickly? Is it AI? Are you asking ChatGPT to write your book in 6 to 8 minutes? I mean, Jake, what are you doing in that hour a day that makes you so efficient and so effective?
Yeah, so there's a few things, and I'll address the AI part of it. Is I believe that AI is an incredible tool to help with your book. But right now, what I have found, especially in the industry as a whole, is that we want the book to still be you, and we want it to be supported or using AI as a partner in the process, but not as the lead author and writer. So a lot of what I do when I write a book or when I talk to people is there's typically a few things that I see happening. Okay. Many people are like, oh, Jake, you make it sound so easy. And then they go and try, and maybe they get a chapter done. Okay. We call this person revisionist Rebecca. Okay. They go, they write a chapter, they start to revise that chapter. They continue to rewrite that chapter. A month's gone by. They move on to chapter two. And after 2 months, they're like, whoa, I'm only two chapters in. This is going to take me forever. I'm not going to do it. And so then we're like, okay, let's reframe that. And so what we really focus on is establishing right off the bat pre-writing commitments. Then we focus on developing a core outline. And then we leverage that outline to write a rough draft in 30 days. And by doing the prep work, you enable yourself to write more efficiently, even if you don't think you're a writer. And that's what allows you to gain momentum early on in the process. And then once you finish that, the rest is smooth sailing for most people.
Cool. That's helpful. And just to back you up on the AI thing, I've used all the AI tools that claim to be able to help write your book. I haven't liked a single result, and you really don't get unique ideas out of the AI-generated content yet. Maybe one day we will, but for now, I think it's best to write it yourself. Or Jake, talk to me about ghostwriting. Is that an option? Hiring somebody else and pouring your brain into that person so that they can write the book for you, especially if you're a shitty writer. Is this a good option?
Yeah, so I'm under the belief that when you write a book, for most people, that you want to make sure that it's, if you're going to be the author, you want to make sure it's in your voice. And this is where a lot of people misunderstand how books can be created. So the two core ways that we see people really doing this is you have a writing coach of some capacity helping you and guiding you and helping you really be able to flush out your ideas. But then you also have the ghostwriting side of it, where somebody will actually interview you. And then based on your stories and your words and your experience and your lessons, they will then curate a book in your voice with approvals along the way. So for the person that is really wanting to write on their own, I encourage you to tap in with a writing coach. And if you're someone who wants to focus more on speed and time, then you're going to really want to explore the ghostwriting route. And what I have found is that for the people we work with, we can typically write a full-length nonfiction book, okay, that's about 30 to 40,000 words, which will get you, just for people out there, it could get you anywhere to about 150 pages-ish. Okay, I'm giving estimates here. But we typically find that we can, with about 7 to 10 hours of interview time, actually be able to produce a full-length book in that person's voice using only their words, stories, and lessons and thoughts to curate a really high-quality book. And so that's where speed and time can be really, really effective while still also getting a book that's in your voice, that's authentic and unique to you as the author.
Okay, very cool. That's helpful. So let's fast forward and say that you've gotten your book written, whether you did it with a ghostwriter yourself or you cheated and used AI. There's a lot of steps that come after that, right? Especially now, Audible's so popular. People want an audiobook. Did you dictate your own audiobook? Do you have an audiobook? What do you advise people to do once they've got a book that they're proud of? Is this something that's a requirement nowadays?
So audiobooks are really interesting, okay? Hmm. People want to consume content in a variety of different ways. Now, I'll be honest, I don't yet have an audiobook for my latest book, and it is something that we have on our docket to execute on. Now, that being said, I see some books behind you by Alex Hormozi. Okay. And it was Hormozi that said that he gets about a 25% split amongst 25% ebook, 25% physical copy, 25% through his free lead gen, and 25% through audiobook. Now, he's a leading marketer right now of our industry, and he's getting a 25, 25, 25, 25 split, a quarter split. So just off his data alone, as one of the industry leaders, it would make sense that you don't miss out on 25% of your possible sales. But what we're also noticing, and one of the reasons, because we do have an entire audiobook program for authors, one of the things that we're noticing and why I'm so sold on audiobooks as part of the future is because every year you're seeing an increase in the amount of people who are using audiobooks. People that listen to audiobooks are also people that listen to podcasts. And the data that we've seen from people who are podcasts typically tend to be higher earners, more likely to invest, more likely to be working on themselves. When you couple all that data in, well, what better way is there than to have somebody spend a couple hours with you, listening to you, dictating your voice, narrating your book in your voice, in your personality, while also showing them the roadmap to whatever it is that your book is about. So audiobooks are a really fascinating and great way to leverage. And then the other really cool thing that we've done and we've seen is you can use audiobooks as part of your lead generation strategy, not just as a sales strategy. And that's where you can get really creative with the different versions and formats of your books, because it has a tangible value associated with it. Because if you buy it, there's an actual product you can purchase. And that's where it gets really fun to bring in the marketing game with the book game.
Right. One of my favorite funnels, I think Russell Brunson uses this. It's the free just pay shipping funnel. and you want his marketing or Secrets Trilogy book, you go on, you pay $7.99 for shipping. They'll send you the physical copy. But if you want the audiobook, it's an extra $29. And I take the upsell because I'm an audiobook guy. So I think it does give you that extra leverage, that extra upsell, cross-sell, so that you can generate a little bit of revenue on those funnels. So very interesting. I agree. I think audiobooks are awesome, but I'm an audiobook consumer, so I might be biased. You know, it might be really interesting is AI and dictating a book. It's getting very good, even in my voice. I've used a couple tools now to clone my voice, and it is getting, it's even got like emotional hues to it. It's very, very cool.
Yeah, I think that is definitely something that with the right softwares, I think you can get a voice that sounds like you, but again, you're still the one narrating it, even though AI is the one producing it in a way, right? Versus having some random AI generated voice who doesn't understand your personality. So I do think that there are some advantages with those softwares, whether it's HeyGen, whether it's 11 Labs, and whether it's some of these other softwares where you can clone yourself both visually and audibly.
I'm looking forward to seeing what AI has in store for 2024. 2023 was wild. So Jake, we got the audiobook. You've got the physical book written, publishing it. How the hell do I format this thing? Where do I publish it? Do I publish it on Amazon, on Kindle? What do you do with the thing once it's done?
All right. So let's say the book is produced and you're like, all right, how do we distribute the heck out of this? All right.
Yes.
So there are several different ways to do this. But one of the easiest and most common ways that we encourage authors to do, and this is what I talk about in my book, is creating what's called a KDP account. So Amazon has a platform, a self-publishing platform called KDP, Kindle Direct Publishing. And essentially what you do is you create an account, you upload all the necessary materials, the formats, the file sizes, the cover art, the book description, all these other different things, and you press publish. And by doing that, it will actually create, if you have the right files, both an ebook and a paperback that then is allowed to be purchased with worldwide distribution through Amazon. Now, Amazon is the largest bookstore in the world as of the time we're recording this. So I encourage most people not to stress out about a bunch of other stuff. I encourage them to use the number one bookstore that's getting the most sales as your main channel of publishing your book. And that is KDP. It is free to create. So anybody in theory can self-publish a book for free and have a book on Amazon. Now, there are different things along this journey that differentiate the amateurs from the pros. And this is the difference of whether people will see you as someone who's got a shitty book on Amazon, who's self-published, versus someone who's like, wow, this is very legitimate. I can't differentiate between your book and Tony Robbins' book, or your book and the person in your industry who you're ultimately competing with. And that's the difference in what makes a great book take off through the right amount of publishing secrets.
All right. So what are those secrets? How do you be a pro? How are you indistinguishable from Tony Robbins on the Amazon bookstore? What is the secret? Okay.
There you go. I'm so glad you asked. I was hoping you wouldn't let me slide without giving you the goods. So here's the thing, okay? There's number one, first and foremost, is your book cover, all right? If your book cover sucks, nobody's buying your book. I've even had people say, this is the greatest book ever, and I go to buy it, and I'm like, this cover's awful. There's no way this is the right book. So if you don't have a good book cover, when your book is on Amazon, it will not stand out. It will not give and elicit the emotions you want someone to have, and it will not stop the scroll. So that is critical. The second thing that's really important when you have your book to differentiate yourself is having the right title and subtitle. Now, without getting too deep into it, I want to just give a teaser on what makes a good title and subtitle for nonfiction. A good title is short, memorable, punchy, and straight to the point. Okay? A good subtitle for a nonfiction book is something that tells the reader exactly what the book is about. So the title stops the scroll, it's the hook. The subtitle is what captures the attention, okay? And that is what exactly the book is about, all right? And then the third thing, and this is really where you separate yourself in the publishing process from amateur to professional, is what does the interior of the book look like? So some people will have random spacing, completely different fonts, uneven chapters, and you're kind of like, all right, I could tell you just kind of made a document and threw it up here. The difference between someone who does that and someone who has a book that is polished for the correct format for paperback, polished for the ebook, aka the Kindle version of it, that allows people to really stand out. And if you do those three things, you go put your book on a shelf, you get your book in a Kindle, and you're like, damn, this is a legitimate book. And that's really how people are changing the name of self-publishing while also putting themselves into an elite category of credibility.
I love that. You mentioned putting your book on a shelf, and you mentioned uploading it to Amazon and getting a paperback version generated automatically. So it's one thing, you upload the document, now it lives online. What if I do want a physical copy of that book to put on the shelf, to send to my clients? What are my options? Do I just order that in bulk from some bookstore? What is the general public doing when they publish a book?
So there are several different options here, Jay, but let's go with the one that most people are going to leverage, okay?
Yes.
And this is what is called print on demand. So what's really cool about Amazon's platform, KDP, is they do what's called print on demand, meaning they only print books as customers demand the books. So if somebody buys a copy of my book today, I actually don't do anything. Amazon will print the book, then they will ship the book, they will track the delivery, and they will handle any customer service. Now, here's the positives about that. You do not need inventory. You don't have to spend a lot of money up front, and you're able to collect the check every month based on the royalties you receive once Amazon has taken their cut for doing the actual work of fulfillment. Okay, this is really great when you're selling books online. Now, the other option is you buy what's called an author copy. And this is one of my favorite things to do as a marketer of books, is you can buy what's called an author copy. And an author copy is the print cost of a book. So if somebody goes online, for example, this book that I'm showing on the camera right now, my book is about $3.43 per copy. So I buy hundreds at a time, and then I can give them away. When I meet people, I can put them in swag bags. I can sell them at speaking gigs and get even a higher margin. But that is the other way that you can go about distributing your book. So you have the print on demand through Amazon or through the online retailers. And then you also have the ability to buy what's called your author copies that allow you to give, sell, or to leverage as a marketer for various different campaigns, if you will.
Amazon's just crushing it, making it so easy to publish a book now. That is unbelievable. What if I want one of these really cool hardcovers that I've got behind me here, the one I've got from Hermosi that look really clean? They stand up straight when I put them like that. How do you get a hardcover book? What does something like that cost?
So if you're going to go the hardcover route, what's cool is that Amazon has that feature where you can actually turn your book into a hardcover. But what we tend to recommend is there is another platform. I'm kind of getting technical on this, but it's worth sharing. Is there's a platform called Ingram Spark. Now, Ingram Spark is another platform that you can publish your book through, and you could select various different channels. But through them, you can actually print hardcover books and collect them. So sometimes what we like to do is if somebody really wants a hardcover, we will go there and then we'll get them hardcover for them to send out or for them to frame or to keep so that it's a little bit like you have, right? With Hormozy's books, you have a nicer hardcover version versus the traditional paperback as well as the ebook. From a marketing standpoint, the paperback book tends to be much more cost effective. And yes, what we've seen is it's much more of a lighter, is a much lighter lift when it comes to marketing your book than the hardcovers for obvious cost and creation standpoints. But if you want hardcovers, you have obviously an option through multiple different platforms to create that, whether it's a one-off or a collector's item, or you're actually using them in production.
Super helpful. Let's switch to marketing for a little bit, promotional aspects of this book publishing thing. Because it's not enough nowadays just to be an author, to be a published author, right? You have to be a best-selling author, whether that's Wall Street Journal, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. Is that impossible to do? What is the process to becoming a best-selling author?
I may piss a couple people off when I say what I'm about to say, but there's two things here. One is there was a study done by a really reputable marketing and brand company, okay? And they put out a study, and essentially what it said was that the average population, now we're in marketing, we're in the online space, so we're seeing a lot of these different book techniques, but the average consumer can't tell the difference between all of the different types of best-selling authors, okay? Which is really interesting because it's much easier to become an Amazon best-selling author than a New York Times best-selling author. And this is where the game gets to be played, okay? So now here's the aspect of this. There is no longer a Wall Street Journal bestsellers list. They actually just recently shut that down, which was a huge credibility play that people would just pay $50,000 to get on or through other systems, right? The New York Times is editorial, meaning you could sell enough copies and they might not want to promote you as a best-selling author. So when all push comes to shove, everybody's dream is to do that. When Amazon's the most, one, affordable, it's the easiest game to play, and it's one that has the most opportunity for you. So here's where it gets really fun, right? To be a best-selling author gives you extra clout than being a author.
Yes.
But there's also a bunch of misguidance around what it means to be a best-selling author. And the truth is, in marketing, there are games to be played. And if you understand the rules of the game, you can win the game. Okay? That's just life 101 and business 101, right? But when it comes to Amazon specifically, is to be a bestseller, I define it as being a number one best-selling book in a particular category. Now, this is where a lot of people will go, yeah, but it is easier to rank number one in certain categories versus other categories. But on the flip side to that, if you don't understand the game, it doesn't matter what categories because you won't hit bestseller status either way. So it's really important that when you are launching your book and you're aiming for bestseller status, that you pick the right categories, meaning ethical categories that are actually related to your book. Don't put your book in Chinese folklore if you wrote a book on finances, right? That's unethical. But if you do understand the category game, you're able to position yourself to give an advantage when you actually launch and start to drive traffic there. And that is what we ultimately want for our own books, for our clients' books. And I want for people who are listening to this to know that it is possible, but you still have to do the work, you still have to get sales, and you still have to know how to do these particular different strategies.
Okay, very interesting. And it now seems reasonable to be a best-selling author. So assuming you pick the right category on Amazon, I'm assuming that's not going to be enough. You also have to generate some sales in that category. There's some stuff that they look at. How many sales does it generally take, and what avenues do you use to promote your book once you actually release it?
Yeah, great question. Every category is different, okay? Now, some categories, it's really hard because it all depends on what the number one book is ranked at that given moment of time. In order for you to be bestseller, you have to surpass them. And so the Amazon algorithm updates and every hour, every couple of hours, multiple times a day. The key here that I'm about to share is don't play the algorithm, play the game. Okay? Because you can't dictate what the algorithm does, but you can dictate how well you play the game. And so when it comes to that, there are a few elements that I like to play, that I like to do to play the game. And that is focusing on how do we drive a ton of sales initially, early on. And one of my favorite ways to do that is by using what I call the 99-cent launch strategy. This is where you put your ebook to 99 cents on launch, you drive a ton of traffic, and you are able to get a high volume of sales because it's easier to sell a $1 digital book than a $20 paperback book. that is often how you can generate initial sales, is by, first of all, doing the 99-cent strategy. The second thing that I love to do when we do book launches is a variety of paid promotions, but not paid ads through Amazon, not Facebook ads, not Instagram ads. It's finding all of these people that have dedicated lists of readers who want to find nonfiction books that are on discounts. And so there are these partners that we have in these websites and these email lists that we're able to get in front of that allow for a high increase in sales. Another thing that I love to do is to have a launch team. This is a group of people who have agreed to support you, promote you, buy your book, and leave a review. And if you can combine these elements among several others, but these, just knowing these, you have a head start over the majority of people who play this game. Just by doing these, you're going to be able to drive initial sales, but then keep those sales pretty consistent for that launch week, which will have your book go up, stay up, and then achieve success, hopefully building the momentum it needs to be self-sustaining.
Okay, amazing. That's a really good launch strategy. I'm sure it helps to have a partner that's done this a couple times before to use that network. And I guess one thing I see people doing a lot is those kind of virtual book tours. Someone's got a new book, they go on everybody's podcast. Is that something that authors should think about, working within your network to do cross-promotional stuff and get on everybody's podcast?
100%. So the answer I gave you was a very technical Amazon bestseller strategy. The question that you posed is 100% the play. It is not so much traditional media anymore as it is new media, aka podcasts, guest coaching, Instagram lives, and things where everybody's got attention right away. So podcast tours are great because sometimes the podcast host will buy books. Sometimes you can sell books. But again, it goes back to what I said earlier, which is, what's your launch strategy? What are you using the book for, and what's the objective? And so, for example, here, if you're using your book to get leads and you're going to do a podcast tour, don't send them to the Amazon link of your book, because if you do, you don't get the data. When you sell a book on Amazon, Amazon gets the data, you don't. Instead, direct them to a free plus shipping funnel. Direct them to buying it on your website. Direct them to downloading a free gift of the book through a digital format of the book. And that's going to change based on what your strategy is. But a podcast tour and a new media launch tour is what I love to see people doing. And it produces results over and over and over again, because you're never more relevant than when you have a new book.
Right. It opens up a lot of doors too. I've had a lot of people on my show specifically because they were best-selling authors. And I've had a lot of good conversations because of that. And a lot of what I teach in my courses and my YouTube videos is lead generation, cold lead generation, using lead magnets. And I think a book is one of the best lead magnets that exists. One, you can give it away for free. It has high perceived value. It doesn't cost you anything, assuming you have a digital version. For people who are a little more familiar with you, like when I purchased Russell Brunson's book, the free Just Pay shipping model, $8. I get a hard copy sent to me. I can get the audio version. Awesome. So people who already know who I am, maybe from watching one of my YouTube videos or social media posts, chances are they're willing to pay $8 to get a book shipped to them. And again, covers my costs, and then I can upsell them an audio book and all of the other services that come along with it. Now, one of the coolest things that I think exists in the book marketing world is the viral nature of books. There's not a lot of things that people can give away and do that get a picture taken of it and shared. People love to share what they're reading, especially on Instagram. Have you noticed that that's a tool that gets books circulating, that increases their exposure, people sharing it?
Definitely. Anytime my book gets featured somewhere, I'm posting about it. Right. So we did a Times Square billboard. That was huge for the engagement. The only reason I got the billboard was because of my book. That was the only reason I heard of it. That was the only reason I knew about it. That was the only reason I did it. When we have people taking pictures of them reading the book, we're sharing that because it's a trust factor, right? People are like, oh, someone else is actually reading it. It's not just him talking about it. That's really valuable. And then also, we're seeing a lot of books that will have a viral moment ultimately change that author's life forever. And we see people who are now becoming full-time authors and writers and building an entire business actually off the sales of their book through Instagram or through TikTok or through some of these other platforms, which is freaking awesome to see that people are turning a book into their opportunities. But what I also see is using the book to post about it to generate other opportunities, right? So I'm posting about my book or giving my book in hopes that I will secure a lead to work with us or to build a relationship with a podcast host that has my ideal clients or to get in front of the person who I want to speak at their mastermind for, right? So there's so many different ways to leverage it. And that's the beauty. Going back to the first question you asked me, that is the beauty of why the book is the most versatile marketing tool that I believe somebody could have.
And you have it forever. There's not a lot of things in the marketing space that you can say that. It is an asset that you can use for decades into the future, and it will probably never go out of style.
Yeah, especially if you write it in that way, right? Yeah. If you, and you mentioned Russell Brunson, he even talks about, he tried to write his books as timeless as possible. So even if algorithms changed, well, the concepts are the same, right? And so that is where you can be really, really effective. Because if you look at Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right? If you look at some of these books that have been around for decades, they're still monetizing them. They're still more popular than they've ever been. And it goes back, like, do the work once, and then you have a book that will last you 3 years, 5 years, 10 years until you need a new revision of the book, something changes, your business blows up, or something other positive experience happens in your life that warrants you to change course.
Super exciting. I don't know about the listeners, but I'm amped up, ready to get my book written. So Jake, for people who want to get a book written and need some help, need some accountability, need some guidance, where is a good place for them to reach out to? And what can they expect with that kind of help? What does the process look like?
Yeah. So let me walk you through the process, and I'm going to give everybody here, I'm going to show you exactly our funnel with the book, and I'll give everyone a free copy. So
free, just pay shipping. If you're curious about it, go see what that funnel looks like. It is a proven model. It's a good reason for people to go click.
Exactly. I know you've said this on some of your YouTube videos as well, as like, look, even if you don't want the thing, just see the marketing behind the thing so that you can replicate it for yourself, right? And so the process for us is we help people write, publish, and launch and market their nonfiction book. We can help you at any stage of the journey, whether you're, hey, Jake, I'm curious about it, all the way through a launch, or you're like, hey, Jake, I already have the first draft. Can you just do the rest for me? So we can help you at every step of the way. And if you want to hear more about that or learn more, reach out to me on Instagram at Jake Kelfer. And that will be the best way to get in touch with me, as well as us walk you through some of the steps and some of the process. And then if you want, and I know we were just talking about this, if you want to get a free copy of my book, what you can do is you can go to go.bigideatobestseller.com/free-book. And we'll link that up, I'm sure. But you can go to that website and you can actually get a free paperback copy of my book. We will ship it to you. All that we ask is that you cover the shipping. And this is a great way to get a free copy of the book and also see how we actually use this in action for yourself. And if you want the free digital copy, we can send you that as well. But this would be the best way to learn about the process, as well as get your hands on a free copy of my latest book, Big Idea to Bestseller, which is all about helping people write, publish, and launch nonfiction books.
Beautiful. And we will link that. And if you're listening to this and you care about marketing, and you, I know you do because you're listening to my show, go click on that link, whether you want his book or not, just so you can see what that funnel looks like. It is one of the most proven lead magnet funnels that exists. But I do recommend that you do buy the book, cover the shipping, and then write your own book to use as a lead magnet, just like I'm doing, just like Jake has done 4 times. And if you want to hear more from Jake, him on social media, super lively guy, go follow him. That will also be linked down in the description. And Jake, thank you so much, brother. It's been a blast. Excited to write my book.
They appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime.